Yes, my name is Justin Jones, and I am the youngest black lawmaker in the state of Tennessee. I represent the House District 52 in Nashville, which is the most diverse district in the state. And exactly a week ago today, I walked into the Capitol in 2026. And when I walked out at the end of session, it was pre-1965. We have seen the largest coordinated attack on black political power in the South since Reconstruction. Last Thursday, my Republican colleagues dismantled the last remaining black majority district at the federal level in response to the Supreme Court's gutting of the Voting Rights Act. And then we're seeing other states follow: Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina. We see a civil war being waged in the South with this new Confederacy intent on dismantling and destroying multiracial democracy.
You describe the Tennessee Republican-controlled legislature as using surgical precision to disenfranchise black voters and argued that the Voting Rights Act was created to prevent this exact kind of discrimination. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court's decision in weakening parts of the act, Justice Roberts had previously stated that, quote, "Our country has changed," close quote, suggesting racial discrimination was no longer systemic. And in Tennessee's redistricting effort, they've described their approach as, quote, "colorblind." Can you respond to both of those statements?
Yeah, I think it's absurd, and I think what we're seeing is this erasure of the history of America. The Voting Rights Act was bought because black folks were met with crosses burned in their front yards for trying to register to vote. They were put off their farms. They were met with billy clubs and water hoses, dogs. The Voting Rights Act was not just a regular law. It was a law bought for and sacrifice of black bodies who were beaten on in the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, those who faced days in jail cells and nights of bomb threats. And so what we're seeing is this revisionist history in which they're saying that we are post-racial. But if you look at what's happening, as soon as this decision came out by the Supreme Court, what did Southern legislatures do? They concocted schemes to erase and dismantle black representation. We may not see any Southern state left in the next 2 or 4 years that have black representatives at the federal level. And we haven't seen that type of attack since the end of Reconstruction following the Civil War. And so it's interesting because in Tennessee, when they said they've created these maps, they said that they're partisan maps. And they said, "We use the census to create these maps." Any of us who have taken a census know that the census doesn't ask your party, but what it does ask is your race. So they used racial data so that they were able to craft with surgical precision, craft black people out. Now Memphis is connected to a district 300 miles away in Williamson County, making it so that black community in Shelby County, which has over 50% black population, is diluted by all these white rural counties. The same thing happened in Nashville, where going on a 30-minute drive from one Krispy Kreme in Nashville to a Krispy Kreme that's in Brentwood, which is just 30 minutes away, you pass through 5 congressional districts. That's how absurd this system is and this new racial gerrymander is. It's racial retaliation. It's about breaking up multiracial democracy in the South, but it's not just about the South, because if we don't stop them here, they're going to spread this across the nation.
Following the redrawing of the maps, protests ensued and you burned a Confederate flag inside the state capitol. Why did you feel that action was necessary, and what broader message were you trying to send to lawmakers and the public?
We had to make clear with moral clarity and with urgency what was at stake. And Tennessee is trying to bring us backwards into the Confederacy. When they say, well, they want to take this nation back, they're taking us back to a time we don't want to go to. And so I burnt that flag because I wrote on it, "We will not go back." And that's our message, is that we're not going to let them take us backwards through the Confederacy, a time where people like me cannot serve in political office, because that's the time they're bringing us back to. But we're going to fight like hell to make sure that when history looks on this moment, that we, the future generations, know that we stood up against this white supremacist power grab, this racial retaliation, and this erosion of our civil rights and of our vision of what this nation ought to be, a multiracial democracy.
Following the protest, Speaker Cameron Sexton stripped you of committee assignments. Nonetheless, you've said you will continue to fight. What does continued resistance look like in practical terms, both inside the legislature and within communities on the ground?
I was only in office 3 months back in 2023 when I was expelled as the youngest black lawmaker. I've been expelled from that body before. And so this stripping of my committee is not unexpected from a man who has made himself to be the grand wizard in chief of the Tennessee House of Representatives, Speaker Cameron Sexton. And resistance looks like continuing to use our platforms, continuing to show up on the House floor. They've tried everything in their power to silence us, to intimidate us, to make it so that we don't represent our districts. But every time I walk in that Capitol, I have 70,000 people who I have to speak up for. And sometimes that means getting in good trouble. This is not an ordinary time. And so it is not, you know, we cannot have an ordinary response. This is not politics or business as usual. This is authoritarianism and white supremacist terror being waged in the South. They're waging a war against black folks in the South, and they're trying to make it so that we have no voice, but also that they're trying to erase us from existing in spaces like the Tennessee Capitol or the Louisiana Capitol or Mississippi Capitol. They want to erase us and make us feel like we are separate and unequal once again, going back to that system of Jim Crow.
Voting rights organizations, including the ACLU and Black Voters Matter, are mobilizing for a National Day of Action in Montgomery, Alabama this weekend. I'm wondering if you plan to attend and, more broadly, why you support this kind of organizing.
Yes, I'll definitely be there in Montgomery with many other black lawmakers from across the South. But you know, actually today I was just in Sacramento, meeting with the Black Caucus of the California legislature, who passed a resolution, and we held a press conference supporting what's happening in the South. Because whether you're in California or you're in Tennessee or Mississippi or Alabama, what happens to one of us is going to happen to all of us, and we must have a united front to face this new Confederacy. And so we're coming together to show solidarity in Montgomery, across the South, but really across the nation. This is our Selma moment. This is a moment in which we must face the Bull Connors and the George Wallaces of our day, and be unintimidated and bold, and to be in solidarity and Southern solidarity with each other. And I think we must continue to show up and let them know that we are united, just as they're united to dismantle our democracy and dismantle multiracial representation, that we're united in our fight against it. And that's what they've said in California in the legislature today.
On that note, East Bay Assembly member Mia Bonta actually posted that the quote, "Oakland spirit of resistance lives in you." Is there anything else you would like to leave our listeners with?
This moment it's crystal clear that we cannot abandon the South. For so long, we've written off what's happening in the South. And so we are connected from the South to San Francisco. You know, we are rooted in this. My grandparents left the South during Jim Crow. That's how I ended up in the Bay growing up, because my grandparents went to Chicago, then moved to California. But, you know, I feel like it's a full circle moment being back in the South as someone who grew up in the Bay, knowing about, you know, what it means to have people power, knowing what it means to have multiracial democracy. And that's what we should lift up across this nation. Donald Trump is a threat to us all. He's the one who's calling our governors in the South, like he called my governor, who forced a special session to create these racist maps. And we must be clear that this is a man who will not stop there, and that we must sound the alarm. Burning the Confederate flag was my way of showing to the nation visually what are the stakes, that we are in the midst of a civil war, and we need help from across the nation. Support the South, invest in the South, and let them know that they come for one of us, they're coming for all of us.